This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Ever wonder about the stories of the women around you?
We wanted to create an intentional space for women to share the wisdom they have gained through life experiences.
Tune in to be in awe of some of the wonder women in our midst. Wondering Women on ORFM Dunedin.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome to our next episode of Wondering Women. I'm your host today, Amy Armstrong, and I'm here with an exciting guest, Vicky Crowther, who is a local textile artist. So welcome, Vicky.
Thanks, Amy.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Vicky's a local artist, and she lives in Mosgiel, and she does textile art, which she's going to talk to us a bit about today, and it'll be fun to hear about what this is and what inspires you, Vicky. But do you want to start with saying anything about yourself, who you are, where you're from, or just whatever you feel like sharing?
Sure. I guess a potted background is that I'm originally from Invercargill. My husband and I moved up here in the late 90s to Dunedin. We now live out in Mosgiel. We've lived on the Tauri for quite a number of years and had a brief period from 2015 to 2017 living in Blenheim.
Oh, wow, the other end of the South Island.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. But came home from there. And in fact, that experience of living in Blenheim, which I disliked intensely, and never failed to regard Dunedin or, well, Mosgiel as home. And that's fatal, because if you're not living at home, you're living in exile.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a difficult 2.5 years for me, but we're really pivotal in what I do now in my textile art practice.
Wow, that's really interesting. And yeah, it's really important to know where you feel rooted and probably where your creative energies feel unleashed. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes. So my work is predominantly landscape.
Oh, wow.
And so place and the landscape in that place is really, really important.
Yeah.
And the other thing that not living here did for me was it made me understand the persistence of memory. And so memory of place is a thing for me.
Wow. That's fascinating, and that's deep, and it's good to be reminded that place and home affects so much of who we are and how we live out our lives creatively, however that might be. But I just wanted to talk a little bit first about your textile art, and maybe could you explain a little bit for our listeners what exactly is textile art?
Sure. So textile art, it is making art from textiles. And there's probably as many different ways of making textile art as there are textile artists. And there are a lot, predominantly, but not all women, simply because the use of textiles has customarily, certainly latterly, been done by women and using skills that women have around textiles. My works are works on cloth in the same way that you hear about works on paper.
Yeah.
My works are works on cloth. I use my own photographic images as inspiration, both as inspiration for my work and also as part of the work themselves. I print my photos on textile and use them in various ways.
Gosh.
The textiles that I use are natural textiles, so cotton, wool, and silk.
Mm, wow.
I don't, as is a current theme in textile art, use recycled textiles in any way.
Is there a reason for that, or is it just a preference?
It's just a personal preference. Mm. I have attempted to do that, but often with recycled textiles, you don't know what they are.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult to anticipate how they are going to react to the processes that I use.
Mm.
So the printing and adhesion and things like that, which use heat. I prepare my background textiles by scouring, which is a process using very hot water that is designed at removing any processes that have been used by the manufacturers. So they often starch or finish textiles. I need all that stuff gone.
Yeah.
yes. And so you'll appreciate that man-made textiles often don't react very well to heat. And so I need to be able to anticipate how things are going to go. Otherwise, a lot of time is lost.
Yeah, that makes sense. You really need to know what you're working with.
Yeah, yeah. So I use textiles and stitch. Oh. Now, there is a big upsurgence in the use of handicrafts. I can't use hand stitch. I have a medical condition that means that I just simply can't do it. It causes me too much pain. So my thing is machines.
That's interesting, because I've seen some of your stitch work. I think you're wearing some today.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. But so all of this stuff, it's quite a variety, even what you do with the textile art. And it's it must take a lot of equipment. Do you have a studio at home?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I have a workroom. That's what I call it, my workroom.
Yeah.
So I am predominantly a machine embroiderer.
Okay.
And in my world, that is a thing.
Yeah.
You either love machine embroidery or it makes you think, why do people do that? Yeah, yeah. So I do have a lot of machines. I have two embroidery machines. I have sewing machines. I have specialist machines that do specialist functions. And I use a cutting machine.
Wow. Gosh. And how did you get into all of this? Was it, did you know someone who did it? You just felt you had an urge or an interest? Like, it's a quite a specific.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Niche.
Niche. That's the word.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. So I guess it started for me back at the end of, well, probably at the beginning of 2014. I have a friend who is now a print artist. And she and I had made a New Year's resolution that this year we would do something creative. So I spent most of that year wondering what that was going to be, and explored various things, just really couldn't settle on anything. I've got no formal art training and nobody had ever looked at anything that I had done visually, creatively, and gone, ooh, I think there's some talent here.
Yeah.
So I was kind of starting on the back foot. However, in my early 20s, I had been a sewer and a knitter, but I hadn't done it since then. And I'll be 64 very soon.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I think I just really got frustrated and thought, oh, I want to do something. And I started knitting. I was supporting a sight hound charity in the UK, and I wanted to do something creative to support them. I saw that you could sell things that you had made by hand. I thought, I can knit, I will make some knitted things and I'll sell them and I'll give the money to Lurcher SOS.
Okay.
And that was what I did, and that was what started it all. So, and then I thought, oh, if I can still knit, maybe I can still sew. So I bought a secondhand sewing machine. And then we moved to Blenheim. I fell in with some creative people who did all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
And it just unfolded the possibilities, so that by the time we were returning to Mosgiel in 2017, I had bought a combination sewing and embroidery machine, and my thinking was, as random as, that sounds like something I'd quite like. I'll have a go at that.
Wow. That's really inspiring, that little vignette, on so many levels, because I love that phrase you said about, I spent most of the year wondering what my creative pursuit would be. So it takes time. Like, creativity, we all know, takes time to produce. But even to come to you, what you wanted to do, and then moving away, even though those were your hardest 2 years, it seems to me, from what you're saying, what came out of that was the gift of knowing sort of what direction your creativity would take.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's very beneficial for me to be able to offset the trauma. And I felt fairly extreme when we were there. My husband worked in Wellington and commuted from Blenheim.
Gosh.
So he was away all week.
Yeah.
So it was a double whammy. I hated him being away and I hated the place where I was.
Yeah.
And so I guess, even though I did have a part-time job, I wanted something, I don't know, I suppose as a distraction, a displacement activity.
Yeah.
And what it did was it completely absorbed me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of our, you know, in some of the hard times we do discover a gift or a creative outlet or a way to try to make something good out of what's happening anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, thanks for sharing that part. And we had talked a little bit before we were recording this interview about how it has affected.
Yeah.
You said everything you do?
Yes, yes.
I would love to hear more about that.
It has changed me. It has taken a long time because where are we now? 2025. So if you say that 2015 was kind of the big, you know, the genesis of it, then that is 10 years.
Mm.
However, I approach everything in my life, including my day job and how I do that, I approach everything differently. And probably the thing that people say to me most often is, oh my God, you've got so much patience.
Mm.
And because I have had to be patient with the textile art, with the acquisition of skills and the evolution of those skills and the evolution of my own practice, I have had to be immeasurably patient with that. I guess it has demonstrated to me that I have to be patient, that when I have to be patient with other things, I can be patient. And really, compared to the evolution of my practice, everything else speeds along. Because one of my things is that I'm incredibly slow at producing stuff.
Okay.
And so one of the things I have had to overcome is my frustration at myself at being so slow.
Wow.
It is okay to be that slow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it like a relief, a freedom?
Yeah, it was. And that, in fact, has been a frustration up until relatively recently. And I, as part of what I do, I have been educating myself. And I took a course with a UK textile artist whose work I adore. Her name is Claire Benn. And since lockdown, the ability to take courses digitally online, it has just flourished.
Yeah,
it has been great.
Yeah.
And so I have jumped at the opportunity to take more than one course run by Claire Benn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it has been watching her work and listening to her talk about her practice and the development of her practice that has led me just to go, I'm slow, that's fine. I get there eventually. And I'm now at the point where if you go to my website, you can see that, yes, I do have work that I can now look back on and go, yeah, I did that.
Wow. That's really cool. So then I do want to talk about your website in a minute too, but so is that how it affected everything in your life? Just more patience with yourself?
Yes, and being able to approach things logically. And, well, I think if you ask people, they would say about me that they have always found me to be a very confident person.
Yeah, I would. My experience of you is that.
Okay.
And competent as well.
Competent, right. Okay. And I guess confidence is based on competence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's probably true.
However, probably I perhaps had less confidence in me than maybe other people had. I don't know. I think that the whole art practice experience, which includes the necessity for liking your own work, that has really led to me having a lot more confidence in my own opinion.
Wow.
Yes, because you have to have confidence in your own opinion of your own work.
Yeah.
That is just a bottom line. It is really, really easy to like other people's work.
Yeah.
To like other artists' work.
Yeah.
But you have to like that work. Mm. And then make your own work and like that. And that is a huge hurdle to leap over.
Yeah.
A huge hurdle. It took a long time. And in order to get over that hurdle, the way that you do it is that you work. So you have to work without that confidence and just put your head down and keep going.
Sort of a perseverance.
Yes, you just have to keep going and going and going and asking yourself questions. And so I didn't produce any work that I thought was truly original and that I truly liked until I think it was 2020.
Wow. So 5 years, 5 to 6 years of working.
Yeah. So that first 5 years was spent becoming a machine embroiderer, which is huge.
Yeah.
And so you get to the point where, yes, oh my God, I have made something. I made that and I like it.
Wow.
And you think, wow. And then you have to go, well, where do I go to from here? Yeah. So that is the next hurdle. How do I develop this? There is always something in front. You're always going forwards. There isn't a sense that I've arrived. Yeah. It isn't about arriving.
Yeah.
It is about the process of creating.
Wow. There's a lot of wisdom in there, Vicky.
I have thought about this a lot, Amy.
That is
part of developing a practice, and it is part of being an artist.
Yeah.
And the other artists whose practice I have been able to have a window on through the courses that I've taken, I can see that it is the same for them. Mm, mm. But if you had asked me before I started this how artists do what they do, I would have thought, like a lot of other people, that it was some kind of magic. It's not magic. Yeah. It is work. It is really hard work. Yeah. Self-discipline.
I think that's helpful to hear because, like we talk about, well, you have the gift or the calling.
No.
There's, and maybe you have an affinity towards something, but as you say, it takes perseverance. It takes just hard work.
And it takes the desire.
The desire.
The desire to want to do that so that you will focus on it and do whatever ever is required, because there were a lot of stuff, a lot of things that I stopped doing in order to do what I do now, because I prioritized it. And so I prioritized it in terms of my time and in terms of my money as well, because I have invested a lot of money in machines.
I was thinking they wouldn't be cheap. But
no.
But I love, like, the theme that keeps coming through for me listening to you talk is how a creative endeavor can really enrich your life and through being reflective of the process, you learn a lot about life and how to live it, and it's an outlet but also a way to learn about yourself.
Yes.
And the world around you. As you say, the landscapes strongly focus your work.
Yeah. So I think, and I think that you have picked up there, it's like, because a big question that art education asks of artists is, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And that takes quite a lot of navel gazing.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to answer those questions.
Yeah.
But I do now, at this point, have answers. And when I work, I am always checking in with, does what I'm doing now still fit with those answers that I came up with? And so that is a dialogue between you and the work. And what you are doing is having a dialogue with your work on many levels.
That's really cool. I love that. Well, before we run out of time, I want to make sure, tell us about your website. What do you call your business or your...
Okay, so there's probably kind of two limbs to what I do.
Okay.
I make machine embroidered items that I sell, and they are a combination of my original digital machine embroidery designs and designs that I buy in, because you can buy digital machine embroidery designs for not very much money. There are digitizers out there who do that. I do my own digitizing, or I buy them in. And so that, I call that operation Narrow Dog Workshop.
Narrow Dog Workshop, yep.
And you can go to the shop from my website, and they're predominantly aimed at people who own sighthounds, or particularly whippets. I'm a whippet owner. Yeah, and all the money from that goes to Lurcher SOS in the UK. The other side of it is the fine arts side.
Okay.
And so my website, which is www.vickycrowther.com, it showcases my fine art work, and you can see there the works that I have made and that are for sale.
Wonderful. And do all your proceeds go to this Luther SOS, or is
Lurcher
SOS, or is that just from the Narrow Dog website? Do you do two strands of?
Yes, I do two strands, and so it's all of the money from the shop that goes to Lurcher SOS. I don't cover my costs or anything like that.
Wow.
All of that money goes to Lurcher SOS, and if I get commissioned to do things by people, you know, they want a special order, then all of that money does as well. Yeah.
Wow. So, well, you talk about the why, or why do you do this? Like, obviously, you giving back is a big part of your motivation. I mean, if you're just giving away all the proceeds to this charity, that's pretty inspiring too.
I guess I never think of it as being a very big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just part of what
you want. It's just part of what I do.
Mm.
Yeah.
And Lurcher SOS, what is that charity?
So it is a UK sighthound charity.
Sighthound, okay.
Yes. So sighthounds hunt by sight.
Mm.
So that is greyhounds and salukis and whippets and borzois and lots of other dogs.
Mm.
Lurchers are a cross between greyhounds and working dogs.
Mm.
And they're a big thing in the UK. And the rehoming of dogs in the UK is difficult and big, and there are lots of charities. Lurcher SOS, they are a foster care-based charity, so they don't have any central organisation or their own property or kennels where they keep dogs. They have foster carers and have their dogs out in the community and are constantly looking for homes for dogs, sometimes whippets, sometimes greyhounds, sometimes lurchers, all kinds of different dogs. They're really nice people. And I got friendly with people via Twitter. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, Vicky, our time always goes so fast with these interviews. I've really enjoyed talking to you and found it inspiring on many levels, just the creative process, how it informs your life, how you like to give from it to Lurcher SOS, and how you, let it inform your life and how you work in every way. So thank you for sharing your wisdom and
your
creativity with us. So if you want to check out Vicky's work, narrowdog.com?
No. So if you go to my website, which is www.vickycrowther, vickicrowther.com, there is a tab for the shop and you can click onto that and it takes you through. Or you can have a look around the website. My fine art pieces are not in the shop. You would just use the contact me function if there was something that you wanted to buy. I sell everything framed by me, so not done very well, but it looks better framed.
All right, well, check out vickycrowther.com and yeah, thanks for sharing with us today, Vicky.
You're most welcome.
It's been great. Thanks to you all. Check out Vicky's website and ka kite anō.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.